Dear saints, have you ever reasoned through some problem that you're trying to fix? Maybe it's a project you're working on of some sort. Have you ever thought about a problem and then later discovered that your thinking or reasoning about that problem was completely backwards? It's as if you had looked at the problem upside down. A couple of personal examples. I was cutting a 45-degree angle on a piece of door trim the other day, and yes, as you would have guessed it, I cut the angle completely backwards. I could not use that piece of trim where I had intended to put it. My favorite personal example of this way of thinking is a story from college. You'll have to bear with me. It's a little nerdy. But I took a class where we were building circuit boards, prototype circuit boards. So you designed the board on a piece of paper, you drew where all the components were supposed to go, then you drew lines between them to connect them with wires. The next step was to actually take a board called a wire wrap board. You put all the pieces, all the circuits, all the electronics where they were supposed to go, and then you had to flip the board over and wire it. You connected wires to all the pins based on your diagram that you had created earlier. The problem was, our team designed the connections on the paper as if we were looking at the board from the top and we were wiring it from the bottom. When we went to make the actual connections, they were completely mirrored. Useless. It didn't work. We were completely wrong. We had looked at the problem from the top. We should have been looking at it from the bottom. I would argue that James and John make a similar mistake in today's gospel lesson. They see the kingdom of God in completely the opposite way as what they should. It's as if they are viewing the kingdom of God from the top instead of from the bottom. And this is a problem we all have. We tend to comprehend the kingdom of God based on our experiences with earthly or worldly kingdoms. In this world, the most powerful exert their might and strength to accomplish their goals. They use their money and influence to get done what they want. The person at the top wields the power, and they are in control, using those underneath to accomplish whatever it is they want to do. Jesus tells his disciples this when he says, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." In this world, the wealthy and the influential rule the day. And so, James and John ask for positions of such power in Christ's kingdom. They don't ask to supplant Jesus as the ruler or the king. They would never be that bold, but if one of them could sit at his right and one of them at his left, that would be pretty great. Powerful positions. But we have to remember what the disciples thought the Messiah was coming to do. Primarily, they thought he was coming to restore the earthly nation of Israel to its position of earthly dominance. Israel would not only be the most powerful nation on earth, it would be the nation on earth, with all peoples subject to it. They saw God's coming kingdom as an earthly kingdom, and they wanted to be a part of it. I dare say some churches teach, and some Christians believe, almost the same thing. By becoming a Christian, by joining the right side, by being on the winning team, by picking the right religion, there are rewards in this life, the logic goes. Surely God will grant me the wealth I want. Surely God will grant me the healing for which I am praying. Surely all I need to do is pray the right prayer, sing the right songs, join the right congregations, and God will give me whatever my heart desires. After all, I chose him. Shouldn't he bless me in the way I want? I dare say you and I can fall into that kind of thinking too. Why is this happening to me? Look at all the good I've done. Look at how I've helped the church, how I've been faithful. Why would God allow me to suffer like this? Why do I have to go through this? But the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. In fact, from our perspective, the most powerful person in the heavenly hierarchy looks like the least powerful, for he died on a Roman cross. The king acts like a servant. The creator of the cosmos washes his creature's feet. The one to you, to whom you owe a great debt, himself pays the ransom. The one who created life dies. No wonder the disciples seem to be constantly confused. They believe Jesus is the Messiah, the King, but what he's doing, that's really no way to run a kingdom in their minds. Christ's kingdom is one of service. The King serves the subjects. The King dies for his wretched citizens, and that's the pattern. That's the model for this kingdom. Consider St. James, whose feast day we celebrate today. He and his brother asked the question, asked to be the ones to sit at Jesus' right hand and at his left in the kingdom. And so Jesus asks them, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" He's asking them, "Are you able to do what it takes? Are you willing to follow the path where I lead?" He knew they didn't understand what that path was. Are you willing to give up everything for the sake of the kingdom? For this is not a kingdom about power and influence and wealth and majesty, not in this life. It is a kingdom that looks weak and ineffective and full of sinners. It's a kingdom of suffering, for others, suffering on account of the truth. It's a kingdom of grace and mercy and forgiveness and selflessness. And James would drink the cup that Jesus drank. He would be killed for his proclamation of the faith. He is the first of the 11 remaining disciples to be martyred. Like Jesus, he ran into a politician that was more willing to do what was expedient than what was right. Herod killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. The pattern of Jesus, his suffering, and his death quickly becomes the pattern for the church. Oh, not always and in every place as violent as what happened to James, but don't be deceived. People in this day and age die for the faith. One estimate I read says that every 6 minutes, a Christian is martyred somewhere in the world. The Christian church is a suffering church precisely because it is a kingdom that does not conform to the ways of this world. It's an upside-down kingdom, if you will. As Jesus says, "But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all." Service is not glamorous. The church is called to serve one another, called to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, and called to serve our neighbors, even those, especially those, who do not know Christ. To serve them in body, yes, but primarily to bring them and to serve them all the delights of heaven. To serve to all the bitter pill of God's law, to lead sinners to repentance, and to serve them the comfort of the gospel. And many would seek to silence this service, just as Herod sought to silence James, because it seems so strange, it's so alien, it's so foreign, it's so outside our day-to-day experience, and it is, and the church may, no, it will, suffer on account of it. But in this kingdom, we do not fear suffering. We do not fear looking weak or small, for we have the promises of the King, of the Almighty God, the King of the universe. promises like St. Paul presents to us in Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The King who gave his life for us, will he not also keep us in his care? The King who ransomed his life for us, will he not also bring us to eternal life with him? And so it is that Jesus reorients our understanding of his kingdom. Jesus himself told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. And he tells us, my kingdom does not look like the kingdoms of this world. Jesus helps us see the kingdom from the bottom instead of from the top. We see his church as a fellowship of service, not of power. Jesus is exalted at the right hand of the Father because he became a slave and servant to all. He became a servant to you, and he continues to serve you by forgiving your sin, and he continues to serve you his body and his blood from this altar. So then let us, dear Christians, serve one another and our neighbors in love. Let us pray. O Lord, for James we praise you, who fell to Herod's sword. He drank the cup of suffering, and thus fulfilled your word. Lord, curb our vain impatience for glory and for fame. Equip us for such sufferings as glorify your name. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.